What's up, guys? I want to give a shout out to all the people that have been listening to the podcast for the last 2 full years, actually 3 full years. And I also want to give a shout out to all the new people. If you like the podcast, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe, leave a review, share with a friend or family member. Now, right to the episode. I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to hop on the Live Better Now podcast. To all those people that are listening today, I have a very, very special guest. You know, there's a short list of people that I'm very, very excited to interview, talk to, and have a conversation with. And this guy is at the top of that list. My guest today, Joe DeSena, co-founder and CEO of the Spartan brand. If you guys haven't heard of the Spartan race, it's an endurance race. And I know you guys know a lot about me and how I do Ironman triathlons. I've done 3 full Ironmans. This guy's done 14 of them in one single year. He's done 50 ultra marathons, and I'm super excited to have you, Joe. How you doing today?
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure to have you on the podcast. And this podcast is called the Live Better Now podcast. We talk all about health, wealth, happiness, mindfulness, personal growth, and self-development. So before we jump into it, can you tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do? Tell us a little bit about Spartan Race, and we can go from there.
Yeah, sure. So I grew up in Howard Beach, Queens. Anybody who saw the movie Goodfellas, I grew up Ground Zero, where that all took place. It was a crazy place. All they talked about was, you know, jail, cement, and cannolis. Back in the early 70s, right around the time The Godfather had come out, my mother, her mom was sick with cancer. My mom was smoking a cigarette, got the idea with her sister, my aunt, to go to a health food store, probably the only health food store on the entire East Coast at the time. She walked in. There was a yogi inside who had just landed at John F. Kennedy Airport, about 80 years old, and started bending my mother's ear and convinced her. By the time she walked out of that store, she was a yogi. She was a vegan. She was doing breath work, cold showers, might even start running, gave up cigarettes, threw away the cannolis, no more sausage and peppers. It was really weird. Within a year, there were monks in my living room. My parents got divorced. My sister and I wanted no part of this new crunchy branch sandwich eating wackiness. We wanted to be back with our dad. We wanted Chinese food and Italian food like any kid would, right? I wanted to be closer to the gangsters. Her guru starts a 3,100-mile foot race in Queens around a one-mile loop. Imagine running 3,100 times around a one-mile loop. Still exists today. It's called the Transcendence Run. My sister and I see that as young people. Again, more craziness. I go to college. I work my way onto Wall Street, and I'm making money. All the things I wanted, I did. I'm eating crappy food. I'm not exercising enough. And it creeps back into my life. I find myself doing yoga. I find myself doing all the things my mother told me to do that I didn't want any part of. I didn't get an orange robe. I wasn't necessarily becoming a monk, but I got pretty serious about health and wellness. And started doing these crazy races all over the world. Ran across Switzerland, Nova Scotia, Alaska, you name it. The crazier it was, I did it. Fell in love with it. I dragged people with me. I met my wife at a race, and I loved it. And so about 23 years ago, I decided to turn it into a business. Could I convince 50,000 people from around the world, the kind of people that would climb Everest or row a rowboat across the Atlantic, crazy people, I figured there were about 50,000 of them. Could I convince them to join what I would call, you know, a social network before the social networks? And we would motivate the world. We would get people off the couch. We would help people discover what it feels like to live like the animals that we are. We're animals at the end of the day. And so I started messing around with that 23 years ago. And I don't know, about 10 years ago, 13 years ago, it started to work. Started to work in a big way. Pre-pandemic, we were 45 countries, 350 events. We had a formidable competitor, Tough Mudder. We bought them out. We have a vision of being the house of hard, the same way LVMH is a fashion house of, you know, assembled brands. We want to be a house of assembled brain. You know, if it's challenging, if it's going to get you way outside your comfort zone, if it's going to take your breath away, get you to sweat, that's what we are. And so here we are.
Amazing.
You know, I didn't know what the Spartan race was. I didn't know what an Ironman was until the pandemic. So, you know, you told us the numbers pre-pandemic and you didn't tell us the numbers after pandemic, but I can assume that the numbers have gone up a lot since then. You know, we were all cooped up in the house. The gym's closed. I was like, hey, let me just go try to run a mile. How fast can I do it? I ran like a 5:58 or something like that, right under 6 minute mile. Pretty good. Not elite, but pretty good. Next day, I'm signing up for an Ironman race. And, you know, I'm the type of person, I just jump in head first, a lot of urgency. I don't think about it. I just freaking, I bought the smart trainer. I bought new running shoes and I bought a training plan, hired a coach, and I went into it. And let me tell you something, man. That first Ironman I did, 16 hours and 18 minutes, I finished it by the skin of my teeth, like by a freaking hair, and one of the best days of my life. So tell us a little bit about how you think the pandemic kind of helped your business and helped Spartan Brand.
Yeah, look, before we even do that, though, let's talk about that, the Ironman for a second. So I did a lot of Ironmans in my time, and I think this is really important for the listener to hear, which is, I think if you're listening to this, you would agree, I don't think you would disagree that we are all animals at our core. We may get dressed up in fancy clothes and drive fancy cars and go to fancy cocktail parties, but we're animals. And as animals, most of us live in a zoo. We're really caged animals and we get, you know, delivered food on demand. And we have climate controlled cages. And, you know, we think that if we wear an Aura ring or you name the heart rate monitor, or we do breath work, or we do yoga in our cage, that's, you know, optimal living, but it's not. And so whether, you know, and I have no bones to pick with anything I'm talking about, I just want to create a visual here, but like you're running a 5K or a marathon or doing an Ironman, it's somewhat curated. It's very curated. And again, I did a lot of them. And what we propose as a company is we want to get you out of the zoo. It's great that you got out of the cage. It's great that you ran on the asphalt and you went around in circles and you swam in the pool that's in the zoo. What we're proposing is get the fuck out of the zoo and get dirty and you know, breathe heavy and sweat. And it's got to be unorthodox and not curated and a bit crazy and scare the shit out of you. Because if it checks all those boxes, that's when an animal feels best. I mean, imagine if you came home and your dog was sitting on the couch watching Oprah, I'm dating myself, smoking a cigarette, painted toenails, and, you know, putting her hair in a bun, your dog. That would be weird. As opposed to your dog, like running around the backyard when you got home, chasing a bird, covered in mud, out of breath and hungry, you'd say, oh, that's my dog. So I just want to give everybody perspective, like how we live and all this shit we buy and all these things, these hacks we're looking for, just get out in the wild. That's my message. So I'm sorry I digress. I'm really passionate about that message.
No, please don't apologize at all. And that's a message that landed extremely well, not only for me, but for the audience, because I'm someone who is very like, do it right here, right now with what you got from where you're at. I don't wear a fucking Garmin. I don't have a coach. It's like, hey, Tuesdays, Thursdays, you run for 30 minutes. Tuesdays, zone two. Thursdays, speed work. On Saturday, I'm going to fucking run for an hour and a half. Monday, Wednesday, I'm going to be on the bike, smart trainer for an hour. You know, closer to the race, I am going to hire a coach just to help me with like recon on the course and stuff and help me dial in my nutrition. But you don't need a fucking Aura ring. You don't need $280 Nike Alpha Zoom flies. No, just fucking tie your shoes and get out the fucking door. You know, and as someone who is a leader in my family, like we all want to just find the tips, tricks, and we want to optimize this. No, we got to think less and we got to do more. Just tie your fucking shoes, go out the door.
So I love that you brought that up. It's not just your family. I mean, I lived overseas with my family, and when we come back into the U.S. and we land at any airport in the United States, any airport, everybody is pretty plump, and they are, you know, 3-4 times the size of folks, let's say in Japan or Singapore. You know, now the rest of the world's catching up. The more we export McDonald's and our lazy habit, like the rest of the world will catch up, but it is not unique to your family. Look, here's a big one. The audience might not know. The number one motivator for our species, the number one thing that motivates us more than sex, drugs, rock and roll, food, the number one motivator is the avoidance of discomfort. So you wake up in the morning, get the greatest intentions to go work out, drink a bunch of water, and you find yourself drinking coffee instead and scrolling through social media. Your subconscious is trying to avoid the uncomfortable that's pending. So you got to recognize that. And by the way, that feature was a good feature, you know, 3, 4, 5,000 years ago, when like we might freeze to death, or we might sweat to death, or run to death, or whatever it may be, right? Fall off a cliff. But like, that's not happening with Netflix on your couch in your living room,
right?
The threats aren't there. The threat is actually the couch. The threat is complacency, right? The threat is avoiding the discomfort.
Yeah. Well said.
My shower.
No, well said, man. You know, and there's so many questions I want to ask you, and I know your time is extremely valuable. So, you know, I'm looking at these questions I have for you, and I'm trying to think, how can my audience get the most value from this podcast? But what's even more important is, how can I get the most value from this podcast? So I want to ask you a question that I want to ask, regardless if the listeners like it or not. What was the biggest lesson you've learned growing the Spartan Race? And what has been one of the biggest challenges you've experienced? And how has that altered your perspective on success, or helped you just continue to sharpen the blade and become like a stronger, better man?
Well, I would say the biggest thing I've learned, that hopefully I could apply to our children. We have 4 children. Hopefully you could apply to your life is the attributes that make somebody successful, no matter how you define success, that really matter. It's not what college you went to. It's not how smart. It's not your IQ. It's your enthusiasm. It's your relentlessness, right? It's that ability to just give energy to others, give energy to yourself, and just get after it all day, every day, and never, never get stopped in your tracks because you faced an obstacle. You're going to face thousands of obstacles. I faced thousands of obstacles building this business or any business. You face 1,000 obstacles building a family. You face 1,000 obstacles. Like, can you remain enthusiastic, fun to be around, and just get after it all day, every day?
Yep.
And if you could do that, you win. By the way, if you could do that, you're winning every day on the way to winning.
You're winning every day on the way to winning. Love that. Look, we're going to experience challenges no matter what. Whether you're building a multi 7-figure business, or you're a 6-figure life coach, or you know, you're a $60,000 a year entrepreneur, doesn't matter what you're doing, you're going to experience challenges. So expect those challenges, but also enjoy the day, be happy right here, right now with what you got from where you're at, and finding that balance is that success, getting into that flow state. So I also want to ask you this question. I signed up for a Spartan Race last year. It was the Florida race. I didn't end up doing it. I can't remember what the reason was. I ended up deferring, and then unfortunately, I couldn't make it the second time I deferred. But I was looking at the death race too. And the reason why I did this one, why I signed up for this one Spartan race, because I wanted to eventually do the death race. Now, this death race, I've read a little bit about it. I don't know much about it, but can you tell people a little bit about the death race and how crazy it is?
I can, but I'm going to propose something even crazier.
Okay.
When we're done with this podcast and you publish it, I want you to invite your audience, the whole audience, to a Spartan or a Tough Mudder or any one of our events, and especially with you to the death race end of June this year.
Done.
Now, it's on me, but we're going to say that you've got to have your team committed, let's say by May 10th. Well, when are you going to publish this?
I can publish this at 7 p.m. if you needed to.
We're giving folks till May 10th to commit to one of our events anywhere in the world, and or hopefully the death race alongside you. Now, what is it? I'm afraid if I tell you too much, nobody's going to come. But like, the death race was inspired because I was at an Ironman and somebody hit me with a ball. Sorry about that. The death race was inspired by, actually, it was a golf ball. Very ugly. It hit the glass door. That could have been really ugly. It was inspired by an Ironman in Lake Placid. It was terrible, terrible weather. It was raining like crazy, and a bunch of people quit, and it really pissed me off. It really pissed me off because I just didn't understand how you could invest all that time, all that money, all that hard work, and then because the weather was bad, you quit? I said, we're going to create a race that pushes people to quit. And then those people that are able to hang on till the end, and they're able to fight through everything we throw at them, or we're going to lie to them, and there's not going to be a finish line where they expect it, and it might not start when it's supposed to. I might even have cheaters planted as participants alongside the racers. And the goal is simply for each participant to meet themselves, find out, you know, what kind of integrity they have, and whether or not they can push through the impossible. And so that was born back in 2005. About 300 participants come out and do it each year. About 30 people at best finish it each year. Some years might be one person finish it. Some years could be 40. So, but everybody learns something. It's an incredible life lesson experience. And the folks that do cross the finish line at Death Race are very special folks. And we do find, when we look back over the 18 years we've been doing this, we do find that those individuals go on to do just unbelievable, incredible things, like rowing a rowboat across the Atlantic, like climbing Everest multiple times, like building a business, starting a family, losing 500 pounds. We had a guy come out to the farm for 18 months, lose 500 pounds. So we see crazy shit happen.
Crazy. What, can you give us one example? Because I've read a couple examples of the things that go on at this death race. Can you give us one example of like what someone would expect during one of these death races?
Well, you expect the unexpected, right? Because if you show up, let's say this winter, we did a winter death race and a gentleman named Thomas showed up a week too early. And so we put him in a rowboat on a frozen pond for the whole week. He had to start the race a week early. So if you show up on a Thursday, hopefully you show up the right weekend, unlike Thomas, we may start right then. We won't wait 2 days to start. We don't know when it's going to start, but we don't know when it's going to end. You're probably going to chop wood. You're probably going to carry heavy weight up and down a mountain. You're probably going to walk barefoot for periods of time. You're going to definitely be in ice cold water. You're going to be lied to. You're probably going to have math problems or have to speak ancient Greek. You might have to eat a couple of onions. Who knows? Whatever goes. You might have to put a wheelbarrow together. You might have to solve a Rubik's Cube. Who knows?
Wow. Interesting. That is freaking crazy. So let me ask you this question. So today, as a successful entrepreneur, as someone who has great relationships in your life, in incredible shape, what do you continue to do to get outside of your comfort zone? What do you continue to do to grow and continue to learn and continue to sharpen that blade?
What do I continue to do? I train every day. I'm relentless about training every day. I meet new people like yourself all day, every day. I'm constantly pushing myself outside my comfort zone. My wife and I are raising 4 kids best we can. We're trying to make sure they're ready for the world. And I'm just making sure I have a lot of gratitude because there's tons of folks that wish they could do stuff like this. And, you know, whether they're missing arms or legs or their wheelchairs, God forbid, or they're in jail. My friends, family did 25 plus year bids in jail. They wish they could be doing 500 miles barefoot in Vermont, you know? So lots of gratitude. Try to eat healthy, take care of myself, take care of my family, and talk to folks like you every day.
Love it. Love it, man. Before we wrap up, because I know you are super busy and most of these episodes go around 20 minutes. I like to keep them on the shorter side. Do you have any questions for me?
Yeah, who's the most interesting guest you've had on and why?
The most interesting guest I've had. David Meltzer was pretty good. He did the episode from like the skybox of SoFi Stadium. That was pretty cool. John Gordon was an awesome guest. I've read a lot of his books, which are have a great message but are told in a really great way. I've had Ben Greenfield was pretty interesting. I was asking him a lot of questions about him like injecting his penis with like weird things. So that was really interesting. I had Kevin Hart's personal trainer on, and he was really rigged. He was fun to talk to. Who else? Dave Asprey was interesting to talk to as well. He had a lot of weird biohacks that, you know, some I can see working for sure. Some I don't know about, a little kind of weird. Those are just the ones off the top of my head, but I've definitely had over 10 New York Times bestselling authors on the podcast. And like I said, you're definitely at the top of the list because Iron Man has changed my life. And I know you're Spartan, but like Iron Man, you know, they have a lot of similarities, right? Iron Man has changed my life. It's helped me up-level my time management skills. It's helped me increase my discipline. You know, I am obviously in the best shape out of like all my friends, and I have to make sure that I'm eating extremely healthy. And I, you know, today I was up at 4:15 on the AM and I was on the bike at 5 AM. And, you know, it's just traveling. The last Ironman I did actually was in Barcelona in October. And I brought my bike. I usually rent a bike, but I decided to bring my bike. My bike was very sentimental to me because my grandfather, who would have been 100 years old this year, passed away in 2019. And he rode this bike. It was a 2003 Trek, the same one that Lance Armstrong won the Tour de France on. He rode it across America, and it had 3,000-4,000 miles on it, this bike. And it was very sentimental to me. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take this bike across the seas to Barcelona. And yeah, I'm kind of tearing up thinking about it. I was like, I'm going to ride this with him. His name is George. I'm going to ride this with Grandpa George, and it's going to be a good time. And mile 10, my derailleur breaks, and it's stuck in one gear, on the hardest gear. And I didn't know what to do. And, you know, Barcelona, I don't know how familiar you are with the course. You probably are. It's not too hilly. It's not, there's not a lot of elevation. But on this particular day in October of last year, it was very windy. And for some reason, most of the winds were headwinds. And also the water was very choppy and I didn't get stung, but there were anyway, I'll get to the point. My derailleur breaks. I think what happened was my honey stinger got caught in the shifter and it just ruined the whole thing. So I was stuck in this gear, mile 10. We got 102 miles left. And I don't speak Spanish, and all the techs and the mechanical guys on the course, they tried to fix it, but they couldn't fix it. I didn't think there would be a language barrier to fix my bike. I didn't think I had to explain. It's not working. It's not shifting. Anyway, I'm like, give me my fucking bike. Grab my bike. I go. There's a fucking massive hill. And I wasn't going to make it up that hill in that gear. So I literally get off my bike and I'm fucking walking up this fucking hill. It's mile like 70 and I'm fucking bawling my eyes out. I'm going to cry thinking about it. It was an amazing day. It was a beautiful day in Barcelona. My girlfriend was there cheering me on. Like, you know, spent so much money to get there. You know, this race was $4,000 with everything total. It was like $180 just to get my bike there, let alone the $1,200 sign-up fee, the fucking $1,000 flight. So I'm like crying. It was the energy and it was the positivity of the other riders of like, yo, you got this, blah, blah. People ask me, yo, what's wrong? I'm like, yo, my bike's broken. They're like, you got this, keep going. I'm like, all right. And I get to like mile like 90 and I start to realize that I'm close to the cutoff. A lot closer than I wanted to be. And Iron Man, I'm going to just take a shot at Iron Man. There was no cold water on the course. The volunteers were handing me warm water. It was like, what? Like, this isn't helping. So I didn't, my water bottles were empty. It was a perfect storm. And then I get to mile 100 and I'm like, really strong. I'm like crying. I'm like, I can't fucking do this. This is absurd. And then I start to realize that there is no one else behind me. I am the last fucking person on the course right now. And I realized that. And it was so discouraging. I was like, are you fucking serious? Like, I'm the last dude out on the course right now. And I pushed through. I fucking get into T2. And I was like, thank God. And I was feeling like physically good. I'm like, running is one of my strong. I'm like, I'm going to dominate this marathon. Like, I'm going to fucking crush this marathon. I'll come in sub 4. And I crossed T2, 8:05. And they go, bib number 2,132. Give me your bib. You're DQ'd. I was like, what? What do you mean? I'm not DQ'd. I came in, whatever. And they're like, no, you came in 8:05. Like, cutoff was 8 hours. You're done. And I was like, I didn't even believe it at the time. I was like, all right, whatever. I don't care what you say. Like, I'm fucking going to finish no matter what. And she goes, sir, I need to take your bike. Like, give me your bike. And I was like, fine, take my bike. I draw my bike. And I go to get my running shoes, can't find my bag. They took my bag off the hook, right? My T2 bag is not there. My shoes aren't there, fucking barefoot in T2. And I was like, are you kidding me? I run back to my bike rack, shoes aren't there. And I was like, they took my fucking chip, they took my bib, they hid my shoes. And I just start I fall to the floor. I start crying. It was awful. Oh, it was so bad. It was so fucking bad.
A good story.
One still.
It was terrible, man. I that same bicycle I did bike across the U.S. on that same bike. Yeah, You know, you need a little adversity in your life. If everything was smooth and downhill and easy, you become complacent. I think complacency kills us.
All right, guys. So what can we learn from this conversation with Joe Dissena? I think the one valuable lesson that I've learned from this conversation is we got to do hard stuff. We got to get out of our comfort zone. We got to just drop on the floor and do push-ups. We got to do things that we don't want to do, we got to do things that we don't want to do when it needs to be done. And I like his animalistic mentality. Obviously, very, very successful entrepreneur. Someone who has clearly reached the pinnacle of success in a lot of different areas of his life. And, you look at the guy, he is not in the best shape. Very average looking guy, but he was able to accomplish 14 full Ironmans in 1 year. 50 ultra marathons. So I want you guys to get out of your comfort zone. I want you guys to do hard shit. Seek hard things. He invited me to this death race. I don't know if I'm going to do it. Who the heck am I kidding? Of course I'm going to do it. Death race, summer 2023. Here we come. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. Enjoy the rest of your day. Have an amazing week. And I will see you next time on the Live Better Now podcast, hosted by Life Coach Zach. Take care, guys.